right, welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, coming to you from the Pine Room Studio, show number 84, as we head into the final week of April, if you can believe it. NFL draft right on deck. By the time you're hearing this, the first round will already be in the books, hard to imagine, and people are starting to think about football again, which is much to the chagrin of people like myself, but I know that's the most popular thing out there, so you can't fight it, you just have to embrace it. So NFL draft gets underway this weekend. Lots of other things going on, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, of course, ECHL playoffs, which is, I'll get to the excitement that we have around here. Got the Premier League starting to wind down right now. Liverpool in a big match right now against Everton in the Merseyside Derby. So right now, Everton leading that match. Liverpool's title chances will be pretty much wrecked at the hands of their bitter rivals if they don't turn this one goal deficit into a victory. But yeah, it's a big time of year. We got UEFA Champions League down to the semifinals in that, so we're back in action with that one next week. NASCAR and IndyCar this week. We'll have Sam on the show in the back end to talk about the three races from last week and get his thoughts on the racing from racing coming up this weekend, as the Indy guys are in Alabama and the Cup guys on the NASCAR circuit are at the Monster Mile Dover International Speedway. So excited about that. Recapping last week, we're up about three, just south of four units, about 3.75 units. Not a great week, but not terrible either. 9-6 in the AFL, 2-3 in the EPL. The F1 plays, if you played them all straight, you were 3-0. So we're pretty happy about that one. That's nice to get into the win column there. We had the time interval, the Red Bull double, and of course Max Verstappen, which I can hardly even count as a pick because he just wins almost every week. So that is the one favorite you'll hear us give on the show, and that is pretty much it. Most of the other times were, well, I shouldn't say that one favorite, but the one with a massive price, you know, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, whatever it's going to be. Usually priced between $4 and $6 a opener on each race, depending on qualification, of course, and still if the best thing that can happen is he qualifies poorly or has a mechanical failure, and then you get a little bit better price. Like we did a couple times last year, 2-2 in the IndyCar plays, 2-3 in the NASCAR plays. Golf was a no-cut event this week. We had three guys in the mix, Brian Harman, Chris Kirk, and JT Poston. A couple of those guys actually tied for second, Kirk and Poston. So they played well, but nobody's beaten Scottie Scheffler. So hopefully you played the top threes and fives that we gave out, and maybe you won a few dollars there, but not a really exciting time for the golf right now until you pick up the Byron Nelson next week, which is kind of a decent size event. But you got the Zurich Classic this week, which is a team event. So we're going to talk about that one here in the back half of this first segment. Sam did pretty well in the Indy cars. I did as well. It wasn't terrible. We had a couple of decent spot showings there. Sam had the Alex Palou for the top three. Brian Herta. That's his dad, Colton Herta. And Marcus Ericsson in the top five there. So good runs for them. The Sam also got the Ferrari double top six in F1. And George Russell with the top six finish for Mercedes. So not a bad weekend. Not great either. But, trying to grind it out here. And you're not always going to have these kinds of weeks. So if you can turn any type of profit or just be ahead or just scratch out an even week. And, most of the time you'll take that. NHL playoffs are underway. They are in heavy form right now. We have three games tonight. You got four more tomorrow, which when you're watching this, it'll be Friday. So as I say, tomorrow, well, no, that'd be Saturday. So if you're listening to this, four on Thursday and four on Friday, I think. But anyway, great card. Bruins, Maple Leafs, and, these series getting pretty testy early. That one tied up at one. I'm still leaning to Bruins in that one. Vegas Golden Knights was a side we liked a little bit, so we're on them. And we have some NHL futures that we gave out last week. You can check those on BLS_PRP if you want some of the series prices. You can still bet some of them now. Some of them I'd recommend betting now. Others you would want to hold off on. But those are all posted. Those were out well in advance of the actual games. So early on in these series, I mean, there's still a long way to go. So you don't want to, jump the gun on this, too quickly. But I still think that that Boston's probably the better team against Toronto. I think they'll probably march on here and then probably lose the next round series. VGK, I think, will beat Dallas. Dallas goaltending, Jake Ottinger's just not been good in the playoffs, and I don't really understand why that is, but he has really underperformed and been a big problem for them. So Don't like their chances. Kings are probably not going to have enough to slow down McDavid in Edmonton, but I still don't love Edmonton whatsoever. I think Tampa will make a strong rally here in this series. Coming back to Tampa, I think they'll probably win both games at home and then push it back to Florida, tie it up. I think that's going to go probably seven games. The Islanders had their debacle the other day, so I don't think they'll be able to recover from that, blowing that big lead and getting beat. The Panthers or the Hurricanes covered the puck line in that game. So either a puck line bet or a money line bet on the Islanders, you have to be sick. And if you had a bet that you probably were ready to throw the ticket away, if any of you bet with real tickets, or destroy your app or break your phone, you're probably thinking, yeah, Carolina's absolutely done. There's no way I could cover the puck line here. And poof, here you go. Jake Gensel for the cover, former Penguin. So it was quite a debacle by the Islanders. And Islanders just aren't good enough right now in goal. That's something that's just been odd. I thought Sorokin was going to be a little better than he is. And by now, he hasn't gotten to that level. So I just don't see... anyway, he'll be able to, keep them going and be able to steal win. They might get one at home, but I think this game or this series probably ends in five, six at the absolute most. Rangers and Caps. Caps covered the puck line last night at a pretty decent price. You could got them around minus 105 plus a goal and a half. I was on that one, so that was a good one. But the Caps just aren't going to be able to keep pace with the Rangers. They can keep these games low scoring. They're going to have a chance. I think they'll win. They'll win at least one of these at home. I think they could win both games. Now some bad blood has gotten going here in the series. Panarin with a 30 hit on Oshie, which I'm not shedding any tears about. But, nonetheless, the Ranger players just take liberties and get away with a lot more because they're in New York, I think. But F the Rangers. I'm hoping the Caps make it a little bit of a series. I think they will. I think they'll win at least one game, maybe two here at home. Vancouver and Nashville. Vancouver in trouble. Thatcher Demko is going to be out for the series, probably out for the entire playoffs. Not really sure what his injury is. They haven't really revealed it. But the Nashville really should be up two games to none in this series. They blew a late lead in game one on Sunday, and then they won the other night against Casey DeSmith, former Penguin. And I think Nashville goes home, wins both these games at home, and comes back with a 3-1 lead. They're the better team to me. I'm a big Vancouver fan. I like Rick Tocchet a lot. I think he's an awesome coach. I think Vancouver's just like a year away from being mature enough to be able to win in a playoff series. So they need this experience, I think. And losing your goalie is a big, big loss. DeSmith's just not going to be good enough to handle the workload. Everything goes up 2-0 now on Liverpool. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be – those people are going to be going absolutely nuts here at Goodison Park. Is just shaking right now as the Toffees take the 2-0 lead against their rivals. Wow, that's going to upset a lot of people out there. But it's going to make people like me happy. So congratulations so far to Everton. There's still 30 minutes left, so anything can happen in this one. Winnipeg and Colorado – high-scoring series so far, although it came into check a little bit. I don't know. I'm a little worried about the Jets. I thought they were past these hiccups, these weird performances they have in the playoffs, but they were scary on Sunday night. They gave up way too many goals, and they scored a lot, but they gave up way too many. And then last night, Colorado kind of out-executed them and played a better game and then beat them and tied the series up at the one. And I think if you're Colorado, you're feeling pretty good about going home. So now this worries me a little bit. Winnipeg was a team I thought – maybe could get through this round, Colorado with the goaltending issues, but man, they have not looked very good to start that series off. So if you want to check those plays out, BLS_PRP, where you can find them each week, and our futures for the NHL. ECHL hockey, let's turn our focus to that one. Great game last night over at West Bank Arena as the Nailers go up now 3-1 in the series against the Indy Fuel, a 3-0 shutout victory for the Nailers last night. Was a really great performance. Jackson Caster was awesome. Jordan Martell scored a pair. And Lucas Vakovsky, who was really, really good for Nailers early in the season, got called up to Wilkes-Barre and been up there for a couple of months now. Joins back in the lineup and has two big assists. One of them a great power play one-timer. He set Martell up in the Ovechkin or Stamkos part of the ice on the power play, if you can picture that in your mind, if you've watched hockey at all for the last decade plus, you've seen Stamkos and Ovechkin score from the same spot many, many, many times. So well executed. And now the Nailers will go up to Cranberry at the Lemieux, UPMC Lemieux Complex in Cranberry for Game 5. Monster Trucks in town Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Saturday's game up at the Lemieux Center, the Lemieux Complex. And this is a big one. The Nailers can close it out, and you don't want to have to go back to Indy. Because then you got two games out there, and anything can happen. You want to get your guys some rest. Want to get your guys a little bit more practice execution, because you got some new guys back into the lineup, some new old guys, guys who hadn't been with the club for a while. And Coach Army's done an awesome job of getting these guys ready for the playoffs and just getting them to mesh together. It's really tough. But when you play the same style up through the entire organization, I think it does help. So great start to the Nailers playoffs postseason run right now, and hopefully we can keep it going. Toledo and Kalamazoo will be in action tonight. Toledo's up 2-0 in that series, so we'll see what happens. Looks like most likely it would be Toledo, but you never know. But the Nailers got to take care of business tomorrow, as you're listening to this, tomorrow up in Cranberry against Indy in game number 5. Nailers minus 145 favorite in that game, total 6.5, so juice to the under. These games have been played a little tight, but the first two games were a little bit more higher scoring. So we'll see. Nailers right now minus 650 to win the series. But that can change very quickly if the Fuel were able to steal a victory on Saturday. So if you want to get over to Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack Sportsbook to make wagers on those as the Nailers advance, we are the only place that has it. So stop on over and get involved. The ECHL hockey is awesome. You can make a bet, go over to the game, and see these guys compete at a really high level. And these guys are... A lot of these guys are talented enough to move to the next level, and they have. A lot of the players on the Nailers team, including Dylan Hamelick and Justin Adamo and Lucas Fakovsky, who I spoke about earlier, Taylor Gauthier, the goalie of the year in the ECHL, all guys who shared or spent some time up at Wilkes-Barre this year. So we'll see how that progresses. But get on out to West Bank Arena when the Nailers are back next. Hopefully they do get back next. That would mean they would have won the series and will be facing either Kalamazoo or Toledo. So it was a good night over there. Pine Room guys were over there. And thanks to all the people involved in the Nailers operations over there, from John Parrish and Pat O'Neill and DJ, the wonderful play-by-play announcer, Isaac Basinger, all friends of the Pine Room, and we have those guys regularly on our Nailing It Down segment. And Friday will be a big Nailing It Down. I think DJ may be in studio, so we're hoping for that, to talk about the playoff game and being able to try to close that series out. So you're going to want to tune in, flip over to the Watchdog. We'll be on 12-3 on Friday. Usually we do Nailing It Down somewhere in the 1:30 hour on, depending on our guests in the schedule and how time permits. So good stuff there on the hockey front. NBA playoffs in full swing as well. Lakers blew the giant lead the other night, and then LeBron wanted to blame the officials. So that was kind of a bad beat. If you had Lakers money line or even Lakers, well, I guess they pretty much covered this every spread that there was in the game. But, you know, if you had money line there, it's kind of a bummer. You led a lot of the game. You blow a 20-point lead, and Murray hits a shot at the buzzer to beat you. So that's kind of a bad beat. But LeBron, of course, cried about the officiating. But, I mean, come on, man. You blew a 20-point lead, and you're going to complain about the officials? I don't know. Just something you wouldn't see great players do. Kobe wouldn't have done it. Michael Jordan wouldn't have done it. And most of the time, Kobe and Michael Jordan, I wonder how many 20-point leads they even blew in a playoff series. Probably not very many. But LeBron's a loser. He'll always be a loser. And just the sooner that he's out of people's minds and off camera and just don't have to hear him talk, the better. Because he ruins the game. He ruins sports in general. He's just everything you wouldn't want an athlete to be, at least one that I would want to cheer for. So NBA playoffs rolling on. It's just really tough to watch. But I will give you this little tidbit here. NBA home teams 12-2 so far, straight up 9-5 against the spread in the playoffs so far, while the unders are 11-3 overall, and they are currently on a 10-1 run. So check out those unders if you're going to get involved in the NBA playoffs. Flipping over to golf. Zurich Classic this week, as I said, it's a team event. You play in twosomes with your buddy. This tournament's weird. The course is weird. It's really easy. Scores will be 30 under par. I had a couple of opinions here. I like Taylor Moore and Matt Neesmith, 34-1. Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin in around 20-1. Chan Kim and Doug Gim. That sounds like a band or a duo. I guess it is a duo. It's a golf duo. So Chan and Doug, 34-35-1 range. Those were kind of the ones I was leaning at. I kind of like Joel Damon and Keith Mitchell. They played pretty well here last year, around 30-1. And then David Lipsky and Aaron Rye, around 50-1. And then this is the most likely of the groups, but I wasn't going to play this. It's plus 590, Thigala and Zalatoris, Sahith Thigala and Will Zalatoris. Both playing pretty good golf right now. Thigala contended the last couple of weeks. Zalatoris' game has come back since he's been getting healthy. So those guys probably a logical. If you're looking for a top-end play, him, those two guys, Thigala and Zalatoris, or Lowry Cantlay and Schauffele, they've played well in this before, but I can't recommend bets on those. They're just too short of a price. And then the one you definitely don't want to play is Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. I like Shane Lowry, but he hasn't really been that sharp the last few weeks. I thought he would play better at the Masters. He did not. And Rory McIlroy is just a complete bum. And for some reason, he is plus 570, he and Lowry, and I don't understand that. Even in the slightest, they are the second choice in the betting markets currently. So that'll be a very, very hard pass for me on those guys. Not necessarily Lowry, but you know how I feel about Rory McIlroy. And until I'm proven wrong, I will continue to tell you he will never win a big tournament again. And this would not be a big tournament. So it would be fitting for Rory to win a loser tournament like this. But anyway, Zurich Classic in Louisiana this weekend, not one of the top golf events by any means. A couple other things NFL draft-wise here. Obviously, last night, if you're listening to this on Friday, last night was the draft first round. We pull those off the board 24 hours before, so there's a learning lesson for next year. I should have reminded you about that last week. So 8 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, you pull them down, and then they're down because, you know, the risk in the just the exposure you have with the insider, it's basically insider trading. You're getting people with inside information, laying down pretty good wagers. That's why most places will cap these, and we cap ours. You just can't take just loose action on this. This is the one event a year. Sportsbooks hate booking. It has been a bloodbath for many of them. And you got to be very careful because there is that massive exposure. There's middling opportunities. And it could get pretty ugly. Most played prop bets so far right now, Michael Penix Jr. I think he's junior. Michael Penix. Anyway, the quarterback from Washington, under 32.5 is his projected spot of draft. So that means pick 32.5, he's got to be under. So it basically means he's got to be drafted in the first round if you're going to play it under, which is what people are doing. If you're going to play it over, that means you think he will be picked in the second round or later. Caleb Williams, the overwhelming favorite to go number one overall, as we talked about last week. And a couple other NFL tidbits here. The Colts' Isaiah Rodgers has been reinstated by the NFL after his gambling suspension. I don't even know if he still plays for the Colts, but he did. He was a guy that got suspended last year, set out the entire season, and he is active again. He can be used in an NFL game again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens to Isaiah Rodgers as he progresses. I doubt he's good enough for anybody to care, but it's just another example of, you know, all the people that have gotten in trouble for gambling so far have been really, really nobodies, like complete nobodies. Because Otani has escaped justice, which I don't want to indict him because I don't know that he's guilty, but I suspect that he had a bigger hand in the whole operation than he's, telling us or telling anybody. And, that's his right. He's probably told by his legal counsel to just shut up and let this guy take the fall. And, that's what's looking like it's happening. But the bottom line is it matters who you are. And if you're a big name, you're not going to get in trouble. And if you're a nobody, a fringe player, you're going to get the book thrown at you. And that's what's wrong with our society today. People claim every day if you have money, you'll get off of criminal charges and so forth. So this is very similar to that. It's a sad state of affairs. But we march on here. Better's Last Stand Show 84. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back, hit on a little bit of baseball. Paul Skeens was on the rubber today to talk about how he did and what's next for the Pirates, who have actually won a couple in a row somehow against the all of a sudden slumping Brewers, which cannot say I'm surprised by that. Going to talk a little EPL and UEFA Champions League soccer as well, and some Aussie rules football before getting to the racing part of the card in the final segment of the show. It's Better's Last Stand from the Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling. We're going to take a break and be back with more after this.
reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Better's Last Stand, segment number two here of episode number 84, coming to you from Pine Room Studios, downtown Wheeling here, and the busyness for the Pine Room continues. Of course, we have our 7 hours of radio every week you don't want to miss over on the Watchdog. Check it out, watchdognetwork.com. You can listen to all of our stuff on there each week. Definitely going to want to tune in. We got great guests all the time, and pretty exciting, good radio show that we really enjoy doing. So thanks to our Watchdog friends and all of you listen. All the listener feedback is greatly appreciated. So thanks for checking it out. If you haven't done it yet, be sure and do so today. And we got the Beer Mile coming up, the North Atlantic Beer Mile, the first annual at Waterfront Fest. Kicks off Waterfront Fest on May the 4th. It's a Kentucky Derby Day. Obviously the eve of Cinco de Mayo, and of course the Beer Mile. So if you haven't signed up, get on the Waterfront Hall website right now and get your spot booked to run or walk in the races, or just stop by and have some fun. So hopefully we have a good weather day and everybody comes down and enjoys a nice outdoor activity down along the river. Should be a great, great, exciting day here. And we're looking forward to partnering with our friends over at Waterfront Hall and, of course, us here in the Pine Room. So hope to see you there. And again, thanks to all of our sponsors, as always, IC Cab, Zambito Flooring America, the Four Seasons Simulated Golf and Bar, also owned by Ricky Zambito, does a wonderful job. Place is really cool. We got some we had a lot of golf footage to go through, so those guys are probably getting close to being able to release our outing up at the golf outing at Four Seasons. Should be a good one, so keep your eyes peeled on YouTube for that one. You're not going to want to miss it. You're going to see some really bad golfing, but a lot of laughs for sure. And then continuing on, Figuretti's and Generations for everything they did with Lunch Madness and many, many other things across the Pine Room spectrum. And we appreciate everything they've done, along with Jill's Gentleman's Club and Gumby's. Great sponsors across the board. We're very lucky to be involved. And, of course, the Nailers, as I mentioned in the first block, Nailers in the playoffs right now. And we thank all our friends over there for all the collaboration that we've done with them all season long. It's been really, really fun, and hope to see you out at some Nailer games here very, very soon. The PineRoomStudios.com website is up and running, so check that out. Todd Morrison, our man, took care of it there. He built it up beautifully, and that is now getting starting to get supplanted with materials and data and all kinds of things that you can find out about us, all of our shows, us as individuals and so forth, and all the things going on in the Pine Room. So we continue to try to fine-tune our various programming across the dial, and we're looking forward to continue to grow. So thanks to Timo for taking the time to get the website going. We also have a very exciting group of interns that we're starting to work with from West Liberty, who are going to fill some needs of manpower needs that we, man and woman power or lady power, whatever you want to call it, we need help. It's just a lot of stuff going on, and not a lot of us. So we appreciate all the young students that want to get a learning opportunity with us, and appreciate them, appreciate the leadership up at West Liberty for reaching out and getting us on board with them. So exciting things happen in the Pine Room. Be sure to check us out at the Pine Room Studios on all the social media, YouTube, all the places you hear podcasts. You can hear this show, of course. You can hear our regular podcast. You can hear the Soup and Stuff and the various other things that we have from time to time, which we continue to grow. So check all that out. You can follow us, this show, BLS_PRP, for all of the picks. Put those out each and every week, pretty much daily, starting about Wednesday of the week. We have picks going all the way through Sunday most of the time. So we'll keep you apprised on everything we decide to do there. And, you know, it's a good tool and good resource to have at your disposal. So good stuff there. We appreciate, again, all the listener feedback and everything across our multiple platforms. Let's shift into a little bit of baseball mode here. Pirates back home, won a couple against the Brewers. Still, you know, the National League Central, to me, is not a very good division. Right now, they all have at least 10 wins, which is not, I think there's only one other division that has that. So I just don't know who's going to win that division. I think there's probably a one playoff team division. Cubs right now at a plus 145 favorite. I was very high on the Cubs last year, but not really loving them. I think the Reds are the team to me that's the most intriguing. If they can nail down the pitching and continue to have their bullpen perform decently, I think they're kind of good at 425 to win a division. I think that's a very good price on the Reds. So I'd take a peek at the Reds if I was going to go anywhere in the National League Central. American League East, let's go through these divisions right now and just some observations. Red Sox obviously can't score, so they're going to be an under team most of the season, especially with Devers being in and out of the lineup with injuries. Tampa is probably an under team most of the time, especially on the road. Not nearly as good as they have been. Decent pitching, but not the roster that they had a couple of years ago. Toronto, they're kind of trending to be an under team too. Their pitching's been pretty good. Their lineup has not really hit yet. So I don't really love them. The Orioles, they're going to be an over team. A team run totals is where you want to look for the Orioles. I think you're going to see situations where they'll be pretty good favorites, and you won't want to lay the juice on a money line bet with them. But if you play them, their first five innings, run total over 2.5, or their game total over 4.5, I think those are great bets. And you maybe don't do them blindly, because there has been some nights like last night they only got 4. But, you know, you want to look at the Orioles. They got a great lineup. They're just loaded with talent. It's just a matter of who's going to continue to stay hot for them. They're going to score runs plenty of times this year. So take a look at them. Plus 190 to win the East. I just don't think that's a good bet. They're better than the Yankees. It's not even debatable. But, yeah, we'll see. Yankees right now, plus 110 favorite. I just couldn't disagree with that more. I've watched the Yankees several times already this year, and they really are a two-man team. They have two hitters. If those guys are neutralized, they don't score. And their pitching has been pretty solid. I will give them that. But it won't hold up in the playoffs. It won't hold up as they play a little bit better of a schedule. Bullpen is pretty solid, so I'll give them that. But Baltimore, if they can get their pitching woes worked out here, the bullpen's had some injuries. Starting pitching's a little bit inconsistent. Maybe get John Means back. Got a really good young prospect that they're looking to call up from AAA here soon, too. So, and if they do that, I think the Orioles are much the team to beat in the American League East. The Central, Guardians playing really well right now, or Indians as I prefer, plus 120 to win that. Twins are absolutely no threat, plus $3. I would never waste any money or ticket on it. The Twins, that's a throwaway. I can make a case for the Tigers, but they don't score enough, and their pitching is a little light, but Scooble's good. Mize getting back to form. Not bad. But the team that I think is the most interesting in this division, the Guardians are going to come back to earth. They've had a pretty favorable schedule right now, and they're playing pretty good baseball. But without Bieber and not a great lineup, I just don't see them being able to continue to win like this clip. So I like the Royals, plus 550. I like their starting pitching. I like their bullpen. They just can't hit very well. So Orioles are probably an under team, but they play tight games, and their starting pitching has been very, very good. So keep an eye on the Royals. I think around 5.5, 6-1, they would be the team that I would definitely go with in the AL Central. Obviously, the White Sox are a toss away. They've been shut out 8 times this year, and this is one that goes in the bad beats. The White Sox led 5-2 in the bottom of the 8th and gave up 2 in the 8th and 2 in the 9th. Last night to lose to the Twins 6-5. That's just gut-wrenching. So if you had the White Sox, which if you were playing the White Sox, you kind of knew, boy, I'm up against it anyway. So if you lost on that at the end there, blowing the lead, you can't really be too surprised. So sincerest condolences if you had the White Sox. It was something's going to happen to them a lot. They've been shut out 8 times already. I mean, 8 times. That's really hard to imagine. And we're starting to see MLB totals down in 6. They have a 6 today against the Twins, which is just unimaginable to me. I mean, if you can just get the game to 3-3 somehow, which then again, that might be tough with the White Sox. You got an automatic winner there. So if you're taking 7 runs, 6 pushes, 7 wins it. Man, tempted not to play the over in that one. Moving on to the American League West. Man, the Astros, boy, they've been off to an awful start. They're still plus 235. That's it. Short price for a team in last place. And they have not played well at all. Texas the favorite there. Mariners plus 175. Texas plus 140. Angels 35-1 have no chance. And the A's, who have played better than people will give them credit for, they're playing hard. And, you know, they're not going to win a lot of games, but they're feisty enough. If you keep, they can keep the games low scoring, they'll have a shot. Rangers probably still the best team. Rangers, Mariners, and to me, are the two teams in that division. I think the Astros are definitely showing some signs of, maybe, I don't know if it's battle fatigue from all the playoff games they played, but they're getting nothing out of the first base spot. It reminds me of the Pirates. Jose Abreu has been so bad for them, so they got to pick it up. Verlander is back now. He got a win the other night and will be on the mound, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure they'll make a little bit of a push and still have a decent season, but I don't love them at that short of a price. Plus 235 is a ridiculous bet right now on the Astros. They do not show me enough signs that they are ready to turn around. Braves, huge favorite in the East, of course, minus 475, followed by the Phillies at 425. It's a two-horse race there. Phillies bullpen is really, really, really bad, worse than the big leagues. Their starting pitching's been okay. Their lineup has not been hitting, but the Phillies don't usually start to hit till the weather gets warm. Schwarber will start mashing around June, and you'll start seeing him hit a home run every day, and Harper will start hitting them, and Castellanos will hit them, and the Phillies are a playoff team. They'll probably be in the playoffs for sure, barring some complete meltdown. But they don't panic if you're a Philly fan. They don't turn it on until late summer, and they've been playing their best baseball going into the postseason the last 2 years. So they're the only team you would consider even having a prayer of touching the Braves. Mets are absolutely irrelevant. They're not good at all, although they have played a little bit better than you would have expected, but they're not. They're just not a good team. The Marlins are atrocious, and the Nationals are the longest shot to win that division, which is not right because the Nationals actually deserve to be priced lower than the Mets and the Marlins especially. Nationals will be a team who will be one that I am focusing on in the betting markets when they're going to be underdogs a lot this year. And the Nationals are going to win, 75 games, I'd say. I know that a lot of people say that's too high, but I don't think it is. I think this team battles. They showed last year down the stretch they played a spoiler to a lot of teams. They are a young, hungry team. They aren't very good yet. Their pitching is not very good, but they got some good young players in their lineup. They will score runs. You want to look at some of the splits, how they match up against certain pitchers. That's a good way to start, but you can get some value on the Nationals. The Nationals will be a team I almost guarantee you will have a positive ROI. So return on investment, you're going to lay you're going to get plus money almost every single night. So you're laying $100 or a dollar, however you want to look at it, $10, whatever your value is for your unit, you're getting back a good return on the Nationals. You can almost, if you win a game with the Nationals, you can almost afford to lose two more games of teams that you're laying around equal money or 11 to 10, minus 110 odds on. So keep an eye on the Nats. There'll be a scrappy team. I'm not saying to play them every day. They're going to get their ass beat plenty of times, but they're battle teams like the Dodgers. Played a tough schedule to start, and I think Washington is overlooked by people, but they're a little bit better than what their record indicates. Let's go to the NL West. Dodgers, obviously the favorites. They look a little vulnerable. Pitching's not been great. Middle relief, Michael Grove has had a couple of good appearances in a row. Our own Michael Grove here from Wheeling and a good friend of the Pine Room. And we're wishing Michael the very best. He's off to a wonderful start. Well, he started out a little rocky, but he's really settled in and done a nice job. And you can tell Dave Roberts is starting to trust him a little bit more, which is awesome. And he's going to be in a little bit of a key role. He seems like he's kind of a bridge to the back end guys in the bullpen. So he took the ball right off the starter last night and pitched a good scoreless inning and had a strikeout. So good stuff there from him. Dodgers will be the team to beat, of course. Diamondbacks $7, Giants $11, Padres all the way up to 13-1 now to win the division. With all that talent, if they could ever put it together, 13-1 is an absolute steal. So I wonder, to me, power rating wise, if you're a bookmaker, there's no possible way that you have the Astros rated so much higher than the Padres. Now I know the Dodgers are the X factor in that division. You don't have a runaway favorite in the AL West, but still. $13 on the Padres seems a little bit out of skew. They do have enough players that if they could get their pitching settled in and continue to swing the bats, they'll get better as the season heats up. Obviously, these guys is amazing. We used to talk about how the Red Sox would start out poorly, even when they had Ortiz and Manny Ramirez and all these great hitters. And, it takes these guys sometimes till June to really, really get in the groove. And it gets to be warmer outside and the ball carries more. And, you don't want to panic too early. But I just think 13-1 is a little bit too long on the Padres, if you ask me. So that's the baseball rundown. Obviously, Paul Skeens making some news for the Pirates. He pitched again, got his pitch count, I think it was up to 73, somewhere in there. So we'll see. I thought maybe if the Pirates kept losing, they were going to bring him up a little sooner than later. Some people said Memorial Day. That's probably not going to happen now, but maybe. It's still over a month away, so we'll see. But the Pirates continue to make you scratch your head and say this isn't even a real team. They just do bizarre things. It keeps them from winning, but we'll see. Plenty of Pirate talk on the radio each week too. If you want to tune in, watchdognetwork.com. We get all the guys in the Pine Room's thoughts on the Buccos. We'll talk a little bit more with Sam when he comes up in the final block of the show. But baseball, still very early on, and still just trying to get an idea of who's who and who can do what. So be looking out there. Don't be playing those big favorites, though. It's a recipe for disaster. You lose with the Astros or the Dodgers, a minus 350. It takes you three bets to win that back. So you don't want to do that. It's just not a winning strategy of any kind. So stay off that stuff. All right, let's go over to Champions League and EPL soccer. EPL, as I said, right now you got Liverpool, Arsenal, and Manchester City. They're fighting it out for the English Premier League Championship right now. It's a three-horse race. Everybody knows that. It's been a three-horse race basically since the beginning of the year. There's really the only teams that really had any type of potential to win this. And I'm trying to find they must have taken them down. I was looking to see if I could find the futures markets on there. Manchester City's probably still the best bet. Liverpool's going to be done after today, so maybe take a peek at City. They're out of the Champions League now, which we called right here on Better's Last Stand, so hopefully you're in on the tickets we'll talk about here in a moment. But City out in the Champions League, and they can focus on this Arsenal as well. So I think those teams both ready to kind of separate from Liverpool here in the next coming weeks. But talking about the UEFA Champions League, which is the top club tournament in the world. It's the very best. You get the best players are in Europe. Just the best clubs. They're, everything about the UEFA Champions League is just top end. It's got everything you would want to see. Years and years and years of watching Messi and Ronaldo in there, and while we miss those guys quite a bit, I mean I do, but it's still good. The clubs are superior to pretty much everybody else in the world, and it's a fun tournament every single year. So the semifinal matchups: Real Madrid, our guys, Real Madrid, led by Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo, playing some great football right now. We backed them several weeks ago, way, way, way back in the round of 16. We gave out Real Madrid. We gave out the Spanish clubs, which we almost were able to get a couple through. The Germans stuck two through here, so a little bit of a surprise in that regard. But when Bayern Munich was eliminated from Bundesliga contention, they kind of put all their eggs in this basket, and they've played a lot better. So a nice victory for them in the quarterfinals, and now they're on to take on Real Madrid. So this is going to be a great matchup. First one is in Germany, so we'll see what happens here. I think that Real Madrid will probably be able to score at least twice in this, so I'm looking for play them over 1.5 goals scored, I think, is where I'm going to go here. I think Real Madrid ultimately wins this clash. They're a plus 180 road dog right now. Draw is not bad at plus 260. I think that's doable. These games are on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And then in the other semifinal, it's Borussia Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain. So you got France represented in Spain, and then doubles for the Germans. Can the Germans pull it out with two teams? Probably not. PSG, considerable favorite here, plus 140. They're on the road, the first leg. So both first legs in Germany. You got one in Dortmund and one in Munich. So should be pretty exciting atmospheres there. Both these teams are going to need to put up a good result as they're going to go into places that are tough to win in, especially Bayern Munich, who will have to go to the Santiago Bernabeu, one of the toughest places to play in the entire world. And the Real Madrid people will be ready to go for another opportunity in a Champions League glory. And if you're familiar with them at all, they've won the most of any team. And they've just been incredibly successful. Los Blancos, as they're called, just continue to do it. And Carlo Ancelotti, former journeyman manager, he's been around a lot of places, but man, the guy knows how to win. So I look forward to that. Should be a great ties there. I think that's good matchups. I think there'll be some goals here. I know people tend to think these games trend under, but man, in the last round, these were score fests. So both teams to score, I think, in both legs of these. Especially the first leg, pretty good. You're going to see a lot of times people think it's cautious in the first leg, but I'm not so sure. I think both these German clubs are going to have to put full throttle here because they're both out of the domestic side of things. They're not going to win the league. Paris Saint-Germain runs away and hides in the French League One, and then Real Madrid has been the best team in Spain this year, but they can do two things at once, and they have many, many times. So look for some goals. I like the Real Madrid game total over 1.5 in that first match against Bayern Munich on Tuesday, and then the Wednesday game. I do think Dortmund will score, which they'll be, you know, expected to at least score one. I think that one could be a draw too. So draws aren't bad here. I like the, but if you're thinking that I don't want to go with the draw, both teams to score no draw is a good plus price market you can get. So take a peek at those. I still think Real Madrid, our ticket, has a really, really good shot of getting through there. I think we bet that. I don't remember if it was 8-1 or 12-1. Something sticks out. I mean, it might have been them 12-1 or 8-1 for the Spanish sides over in Liverpool is losing control right now. The guys are going nuts. Down 2-0 in stoppage time here, and it's going to be a win for Everton. So that's good to see. Anyway, excitement in the air as far as the football goes across the world and Europe. Let's go to another portion of the world, Australia, and talk about another kind of football. It's Australian rules. It's round number 7. Hard to believe we got 6 weeks in the books already. Had a game already this morning. Melbourne Demons took down Richmond Tigers. Not surprising. They were laying 30.5, and they covered that one pretty, pretty easily. An 85-42 win. So a cigar smoking under there. So hopefully you had that one. Another game kicking off tonight, which won't matter to you. Calling one in Essendon. I would go with the under on that one. I will put these up on the BLS_PRP. So if you ever want these out early in the week, you can get them on there. BLS_PRP. Then we go down to Thursday, another morning game. It'll be Brisbane and GWS. Big clash here. Brisbane has not been good off a bad defeat. I'm going to say a bad defeat. They got beat by a better team. Just a neutralized defeat last week. GWS comes in 5-1. Brisbane 2-4. Brisbane really, really needs this badly. I don't know how to handle this because GWS off their first loss. Brisbane is a desperate club. I like the over in the game, 167.5, and that's what we'll go with. Then we get into Friday. So early morning Fridays, Port Adelaide and St. Kilda. I like the under in this matchup, and I like Port Adelaide, who was really, really bad last week. They fell to 4-2. St. Kilda, sadly, is kind of what I expected. They're wearing out already. They had a little bit of a good run early. It was some decent offensive performances, but their defense has gotten worse. So if they could add last year's defense with this year's offense, maybe they'd be okay. But they're showing signs of being stymied already. So Port Adelaide will be the team on that one. We'll go under the 162.5, lay the 20 with the power. Okay, 5 o'clock. No, it's 11:45 p.m. This is a Friday evening. Sorry. So after you get your IC cab ride home, 11:45 p.m. You got the Adelaide Crows in the North Melbourne Kangaroos. Adelaide -28.5, total 175.5. We'll be going over in this one. North Melbourne can't stop a nosebleed. They're a disaster. 0-6. I thought maybe last week against Hawthorn they'd have a shot. They did not. They got crushed. But we did get the game over. This is regular Adelaide. The Crows, 1-5 on the season. They're in desperate need. Crows were a team that a lot of people tipped, including me, to go over their win total. But we're in massive jeopardy of losing that bet already. But this is a game they will win. It's a matter of how many. And I think they'll cover this 28.5. Easily, they'll crush North Melbourne and put the game over the 175.5. Also, a late night Friday, early Saturday matchup. It'll be the Carlton Blues 5-1 against the Geelong Cats 6-0, top of the ladder right now. The Cats are playing awesome, awesome, awesome footy. Very impressed with them as always. They got their guys clicking right now. They were coming off of a championship hangover last year, and they really just struggled to get any momentum. But man, they look very, very focused, and I think you may see Tom Hawkins and Patrick Dangerfield retire after the season if they're able to win the league. They are playing really well. So we're going to go with the Geelong Cats -2.5 at home against the Carlton Blues. Total 169.5. I'm going to go under there. I think this will be a tightly played game. Carlton's played pretty well, but Geelong right now is the best team out there. They are just very, very balanced across the board, and I look for them to be able to get the job done here. Then another Saturday early morning matchup. It'll be the Western Bulldogs and the Fremantle Dockers. Western comes in 3-3, as well as Fremantle, both teams 3-3. Western 0-5, their last five off of a 50-plus point win. So they come in off of a huge win. So that worries me a little bit. So I lean Fremantle, but I don't really love it. Fremantle minus 1.5 in the game. I'm leaning to the Dockers, but man, I don't trust the Dockers. Even at home, maybe a slight lean, but I'm not really sure I'm going to officially play that one. I'm going to watch the pricing and see how that changes before Saturday morning. 162.5 the total. I do like the game over. I think there'll be some points in this game. Western has not been very good on defense, and I think Frio can expose them quite a bit. So over 162, we will go in Frio versus the Doggies. Gold Coast Suns and West Coast Eagles. This is 11 o'clock on Saturday evening. It'll be Gold Coast giving 31.5 to West Coast. Yeah, West Coast ain't going to be giving people points. The total 166.5. West Coast has won two in a row, which is unbelievable. We have them under 4.5 wins, so we need this winning streak to stop immediately. Gold Coast 3-3. They really need this win. Laying 31.5, I think, to get the job done. Gold Coast struggles to score, so you know, covering 31 can be tricky, but I think that two-week hangover for the West Coast Eagles and the two big wins, they'll be partying constantly for the last 2 weeks. I think that hurts them this week, and I think the game stays under, and they falter against Gold Coast. The final game of the week will be the Sydney Swans 5-1 against the Hawthorne Hawks, who got in the win column, compliments North Melbourne last week. The game numbers are like this. Sydney minus 18.5, 169.5 the total. I like the game over the total, and I will be playing the Swans. Swans can score. Hawthorne is not very good, and Hawthorne, the one thing about them, they seem to start out pretty well, and they score some points early in the game. So first half over is probably in play here, but over for the game, 169.5 is a great play, and I think Sydney pulls away late, wins the game by about 30. They're laying 18.5. So we'll be going with the Swans on the road at Hawthorne for round number 7 of the Aussie Rules football season. It's exciting to have it back. A couple of tidbits here. Going back to baseball, a couple of bad beats. Mariners, Rangers over 8.5. You get 4 in the first inning. Actually, 2 in the first inning, I think 2 in the second. But you had 4-0 going into the third inning. You got nothing the rest of the way. That's baseball. It's hardly even a bad beat. It's just one of those things that happens every single night. White Sox 3-19 entering Monday. That was entering Monday. If a bettor had bet against the White Sox every game this season, they would be up $1,261 off of a $100 base wager. So fading the White Sox seems to be a good idea, but you got to watch because the prices are very high. And then if you start goofing around with that too much, you can lose really, really fast. And another thing, a bad thing here in baseball, really disappointing. Hunter Wendelstad, if you didn't see this, he threw Aaron Boone out of a game on Monday when a fan was yelling, and he just threw Boone out for no reason, no accountability. Baseball hasn't even addressed it. I've seen nothing about it. That he wasn't suspended, that he wasn't reprimanded. Now, maybe something will come out. But if you're going to allow umpires to get away with this kind of stuff, you're just asking for trouble. And I find it to be just disgraceful. Aaron Boone did nothing wrong. There's video proof. I don't know what more. And you can't even get a, hey, I made a mistake. No, it's somebody said something, you're gone. That is inexcusable behavior. And people wonder why we are so suspicious of umpires. When you're doing stuff like that, you now make yourself appear to be doing something that is not in the best interest of the game. And that could be, you could draw a lot of conclusions from the way people act. You can just decide outcomes. You can just decide things on your own. And I find it shameful, and shame on Major League Baseball for not coming out and suspending this guy. It's inexcusable conduct, and it'll go unaddressed. And Major League Baseball, they want to bury Barry Bonds, and they want to get mad at Pete Rose still, but they have these mischievous characters going on throughout baseball right now, and they do nothing about them. Angel Hernandez and then this Wendelstad, you just can't have guys like this and think you're going to have a credible product with integrity. So shame on MLB once again. They disgrace themselves about as bad as the NBA. A couple other tidbits. Brewers, I mentioned them a little bit. They've really, the bats have cooled off. They scored 3 runs or less in 7 of their last 8 games, including 2 runs or less in their last 3, 2 losses to the Pirates. So keep an eye on the Brewers. We told you a long time ago, I didn't think they were very good, and they started out pretty well, but I think they've come back to earth. And then the NHL playoffs, I forgot this little note that I had. NHL playoffs home teams 10-4 so far, 8-6 to the over. So keep an eye on that home ice advantage, seeming to be a little bit more valuable, at least early on in the playoff season. Kentucky Derby is next week. I'll have some picks for that. Maybe some multi-race stuff we'll have on the show that you'll be able to get on Friday morning for the Saturday race. So we're starting to look over the card. I believe Forever Young is going to be my top selection, but I got to find out who exactly he's drawing in. And when the post-draw comes out, that's going to be important because if you remember a couple of years ago, which I don't even – yeah, I think we had a – we at least had the regular podcast. We may not have had Bettors Last Stand yet, but we – had a big discussion on the regular podcast about the Kentucky Derby, and I gave a horse out named Mo Donegal, and he drew the number one post, which is just so unfortunate because I think he was really going to win the race. He just got boxed in, and that one post, he just barely can win out of it. I mean, he ran a great race. He ran a winning race. He just couldn't get out of there. He ended up finishing fourth. But, man, he ran on strong. He won the Belmont. So, I mean, he just it was one of those days that, you know, it would have been a life-changing score for myself and some other people that play with me for the horses. We, you know, when you have a little consortium of people that throw in money and we bet together. So, yeah, it's yeah, I'll never forget that one. And, yeah, that's why you got to check the post draws. You got to see who's drawn into the race. Make sure the horses that are on the paper are going to actually be in the race. So you got to check that stuff. You have to follow it constantly and see the post draw and find out the pace. The pace makes everything. And the pace in the post positions in a 20-horse field, it means so much. There's been so many horses that have run great races, run winning races, but they just are compromised by either their start or they get boxed or whatever. There's always something that can go wrong out there. And then the pace, you have to have horses that are you know, not necessarily pace dependent in every regard, because you're going to need some versatility most of the time. And you know, closers have done pretty well the last few years, but you know, we've also seen horses go wire to wire. So we'll check it out, give you some winners next week, let's hope. BLS_PRP, you can find all that stuff out even before the show tapes. So we hope that you'll enjoy the Derby and come on down and see us at Waterfront Hall there on May the 4th for the first annual North Atlantic Beer Mile, kicking off Waterfront Fest here in downtown Wheeling. We are going to take a break here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 84. We're going to come back and talk to our man from Pennsylvania. Sam the Man will join us, talk some racing, talk some baseball, talk some playoffs, and anything else that comes up. It's Bettors Last Stand, show 84 from the Pine Room Studios. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Bettors Last Stand, show number 84. Sam the Man joins me now to talk all things racing, baseball, a little bit of playoff talk. NBA and NHL playoffs are in full steam. Sam, how are we doing this afternoon?
We're doing pretty good. Weather's, you know, it's the sun pokes out, it's nice, and then it goes away, and it's windy, and it's a little chilly. So
yes,
just typical Pennsylvania weather, Matt.
Right. Yeah, it's just like that down here in Wheeling, and yeah, but yeah, it started a sign that we're starting to get closer to full scale spring and summer. So that is good. We hope that we continue on, and we don't have any more snow in the forecast anytime soon. Let's keep the fingers crossed we don't have any more games rained out. All right, let's get into the racing card. We had three races last week. We have two this week. The IndyCar guys, boy, they're working hard. They go back to back here. This is uncharted waters for them. We'll start with them first. Last week we had the Grand Prix of Long Beach. Scott Dixon, the old veteran, leads 42 laps, gets the job done. But I'll tell you what, our picks were pretty good. We had a lot of guys buzzing right around the top five and top 10. And if people piggybacked us on those, we did not have the winner, but we had some good ones. Colton Herta ran very, very well. Marcus Erickson, Kyle Kirkwood. It was a good showing. Alex Palou as well. So what were your observations from the Long Beach Grand Prix?
Well, I'd like to point out the thing that bothers us the most. Not one commercial for this race. I didn't see it any time.
No advertising.
No advertising. So that's really good way to get viewers. But when I did turn it on, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a one point where it wasn't intense or people weren't battling. So right. I love that there's equality in the cars and there's potential. Honestly, the top 10, I really do believe any of those guys could have won. Their yes. numbers are so close in total times and their average speeds are so close that it gives me hope that these next couple races, you know, we're going to have 2 weeks off after this next race. So
right. Yeah, they had to get back in the month.
Yeah, it'll be tough to be get back into the swing of that. But Indy's great. So honestly, I thought it was pretty good for how lackluster their advertising and their schedule has been so far.
Yeah, and you and I talked about it. I don't know if I think it was Saturday night, but Friday or Saturday night, we were exchanging about it. And I saw a commercial for this week's race. But
yeah.
Last week's race didn't even happen yet. And I didn't even know what channel it was on or what time it was. Obviously, I found out because we look regularly. But if I was just a general person and I had it on, I don't even know what channel I was watching. That might have been an NHL playoff game or something, or soccer match in the morning. On maybe it was a soccer match on Saturday morning. And here we go. There's no advertising for the damn race of that actual race week. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Poor job by them marketing this. It gets buried there. A lot of people don't know that it's on NBC. They have a big TV contract, which is weird, but they don't advertise it like they're on a big network. It's like back way, way, way back before NASCAR started to have a revival. It's like you would go through and you couldn't find the race. Like you never could find it. And now they've done a good job. Like you get saturated with the NASCAR advertising each week of where the race is, if it's qualifying on FS1, so forth on all the different ones, the truck race, the Xfinity, and they do a great job now. Now I don't ever have to even worry about where I'm going to find the race, but this thing just gets buried. And at this time of year with so many sports going on, that's just not a good marketing strategy because you need people to be able to find the damn thing.
Yeah, it's shocking because the product is good. The product is good. The cars are cool. You know, like people love cool looking things and flashy things.
Yep.
It's cool. So probably advertise that week's race, not 2 weeks ahead.
Right.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. Yeah,
it really wasn't serving me any – it served no purpose for them to tell me that the race this week in the Grand Prix of Alabama was coming up because I had to get through the Long Beach one first and various other sporting events on the calendar. But back to the race, Dixon led 42 laps, but as you said, it was competitive. Colton Herta led 7, Joseph Newgarden 19, Will Power 15. So I saw some passing out there too, which is a good thing. I do think – this is very like the driver quality here is what's going to separate these guys. Who has the better feel of the car that day? And like you say, I thought there was like 6 or 7 cars that could have won this race. And I'm not certain that it won't be the same here in this Alabama Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Scott McLaughlin, the defending champ. But Roman Grosjean led 57 laps here and finished 2nd last year. So that right there tells me this is going to be a competitive race. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree too. And I really do like this track. I think it's a great looking track. I think this is the one they call the masters of these like racetracks, which, you know, obviously there are birds and there are squirrels here, so they don't have to do that. They don't pipe in the noise, but right. I think it's going to be competitive. I really do. IndyCar seems to be competitive every week. It's like sometimes NASCAR, you get that Kyle Larson win and he just takes
dominates
over.
Dominates William
F1,
Byron.
I don't even want to get started on F1, Matt. Yeah. I am about sick of it. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm about at my wit's end with this F1 product. It is almost unwatchable.
It is, sadly.
But we'll get to that.
Yes, we will. All right, so who are you liking? As I said, Scott McLaughlin, the defending champion. Pato O'Ward won this race 2 years ago, so a couple top contenders there. Will Power ran well. Alex Palou. I kind of thought Alex Palou of the top caliber guys was the guy that I was most interested in. I'll have to see what his price is after they do their first round of practice and qualifying. And I thought maybe Rinus VK as a little bit of a dark horse. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so a couple of my dark horses. I had Marcus Armstrong for Ganassi. He finished well there. I think he'd get it in the top 10. And my biggest question mark is, you just said it, is Rinus VK. Because about 3 years ago, he was one of the hottest drivers on the market. Where is he going to go? And he has just been an absolute dud.
Yeah.
And he's been up there a couple races, but I just don't know what is going on. So I have VK as a sleeper. And also I have Ray Hall as a sleeper. I think Ray Hall could sneak up into the top 10.
Yep.
But the winners, my winners were just kind of the big names. I had Power, O'Ward, Palou, McLaughlin. But I really think I'm going to go Pato O'Ward.
Okay, I like that. I think he's won here before. He led a lot of laps when he did win, so I think that makes a lot of sense. I thought between him and Alex Palou, I thought were the two strongest guys. Roman Grosjean, I don't know. Maybe he can follow it up. Maybe a top 10 look for him. You can probably get a decent price there. Marcus Ericsson run in the top 10. And you said Armstrong, who's a relatively new name to most people. He ran well here before, too. He finished 11th. So I think he's got a little bit of the familiarity with the track. But you're right, Rinus VK, I thought this guy was going to be a star. I was betting him to win the 500 several times when he came on the scene. And, yeah, he's kind of fizzled out for the Ed Carpenter outfit. And just I don't know. I don't know what kind of traction he can get, but I'll give him a shot. If the price is right, I'll roll a few marbles towards Rinus this week.
You going to put any dollars on Stingray?
Well, Stingray had problems here last year. He had a mechanical failure. So
yeah, he did.
Nah, I can't back Stingray. I mean, you know what I could do is the Orioles. Oh, I thought that ball was gone. Orioles leading the Angels 2-0. Just missed a home run. I think Stingray Rob is the guy that you put down as the first guy to retire in the race.
That's where you win some money. Hey, I was thinking about this. Do you think that Roman Grosjean is the IndyCar Bubba Wallace? He's won more, but it just seems like when Grosjean these last couple of years, he gets a lead, he crashes and something, and he's just bitching and whining and.
No, he's had some bad luck because he's had strong cars several times. He's actually had good cars at Indy 500 before, and he can't finish the job. You're right. You'll be another problem that we had over the weekend. The commercial cutting. So when we were saying about Fox doing a good job advertising, not to go off on a tangent here, but it applies because Roman Grosjean, I remember one time and I had him in a race and he's leading and we go to commercial and I come back, he's in flames. He's facing the wrong way. His tires are off. It wasn't good, but we'll hit back on that NASCAR thing from the weekend at Talladega. I just don't understand how they could possibly go to a full-scale commercial at Talladega. It's just idiotic and moronic, but so those are our plays for the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Let's hope you can find it on your dial. Seriously. It should be around, I don't know if it's 2:30 or 3 o'clock on NBC this week. So we'll see what we can do there. You can follow all the picks. Sam and I'll post them all on BLS_PRP on Twitter or X. All right, so let's jump over to the NASCAR circuit right now because we're going to save the worst for last right now. Yes, that would be the F1 boys. Before we get into the race itself, the Geico 500 in Talladega, I want to express my disgust for Saturday's Xfinity race as I had about seven cars in the mix here. And it was bad enough that I didn't end up winning the race. But what made it even worse is that they kept cutting the commercial and not doing the split screen. And when I would come back, I'd have like two more cars out of the race because I would miss the accident. So what are your thoughts on this? I don't understand in any world today why NASCAR or any racing circuit would ever, ever, ever do a full set commercial without the picture at least being on the side of the screen.
It was funny the first week, like, oh, okay, it's not funny anymore. It's so annoying. It's shocking that it's in Xfinity and it's in Cup.
Yes.
But you were right, Matt. Every time you were right, you had about six or seven guys. Then there was a caution, commercial. Now you have five. What happened? Caution, commercial. Oh, now there's three left. It was shocking. And I'm not even going to talk about how many things that they've missed in Cup Series. They've missed fires in the pit lane. They've missed the crashes. They've missed everything.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't know if Fox changed like their directors and producers, but I don't remember it always being this bad. Like, I think their on-air talent is good. Like, I think Kevin Harvick has been really good in the booth. I like Bowyer. When they had Jeff Gordon, I thought he was awesome. I think their pit reporters do a good job, but I don't know what it is. Something about their way that they have the race organized and just the timing of some of the things has been very poor. I've struggled to find information that I needed. It's tough. NASCAR needs a better damn app, and they need to get – I think they run into a problem where, like, the directors of these things maybe aren't race fans or even bettors. Like, so it's a problem. Like, they don't understand what is needed, what people need at the time. Like, showing results, like, even in NBC when they have the NASCAR, my God, I never know where guys are. They put that three-person scroller up there. It takes forever to find a guy. By the time they get to, like, 20, then they reset it to the top spot, and you don't even know where anybody 20 on is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the Xfinity race had a hell of a lot of excitement, and Jesse Love gets his first win. But man, my guys were fading like flies. The damn overtimes. It was a disaster. But it was a good race. So I guess maybe I'm just a little bit bitter because Talladega did me wrong. And back to the commercial thing. If you're going to take a commercial break at Kansas, okay, I can live with it. But if you're doing it at Talladega and Daytona and Bristol, you're an idiot. You can't do it.
You can't. They're the most historic tracks that they have. They're super speedways. They advertise the big one. Right. Well, guess what? Guess what's an issue, Matt? When the big one happens when you're on commercial.
Yes. You know what I mean? These were problems that they had in the 90s. I remember like watching like ESPN and some of these outfits that had never done stock car racing before, and they had it, and you had to go to commercial, and you just see there's pieces of cars all over the track, and like, you idiots, like, you missed the thing that a lot of people only care about.
Yeah, but like, they advertised a commercial about a crash. Hey, we want our guys to crash, so you watch this, and then you go to a commercial, and we don't get to watch it.
Yeah, that'd be like if, that'd seriously be this comparison. So, a lot of people like watching racing just for the crashes, which Sam and I are not in that group. Now, yeah, we enjoy a competitive, battle that ends up in a crash here and there, no question about it. But it would be like the people that go to hockey games strictly for the fighting, and they were just to cut away to commercial where the guys fought.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. It's crazy. And then the Eric Jones, the crashes when they show him, that shows how bad they are. He's not even racing this week.
No, I know. That was really, really bad hit. And who? Oh, you know who else in X-Men? I couldn't remember. Justin Allgaier hit really hard, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he came out of the car, and he did an interview right after that. I was like, man, I mean, that was a vicious hit down on the inside wall. So, yeah, I mean, and that really bothers me when people, like, make fun of, you know, some people are like, oh, it's a redneck sport. These guys aren't athletes. Bullshit, they're not athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me what would be worse, getting hit like Eric Jones did or Allgaier did last week, or fucking getting hit in the NFL game. I think I'll take the NFL hit anytime.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you want to fight Ryan Reeves, or do you want to hit the wall at Daytona going to 190? Yes. I think I'd rather fight Ryan Reeves.
Yes, exactly.
But one thing, Matt, we said that was just shocking is that it's almost doesn't seem like it's being fixed. Like, did you see how Corey LaJoie ended the race?
Yeah.
On the side? He slid across on the side. It took him about 15 minutes to figure out Corey LaJoie slid across the, the finish line.
Yeah, it was getting into the race. Tyler Reddick gets the job done. this bothered me in several fronts. There's been some finishes this year that have really rubbed me the wrong way. Now, if I was on the winning side of them, I might think differently.
Yeah, but this one was weird.
I will be fully transparent here. And say, you know, I had Brad Keselowski, which, Sam did too. We were on Brad. He ran well. He's been doing well for us. We had a really good shot with him, but didn't work out. I thought that he won the race, but they never threw a caution, so it didn't matter. And then these guys in the back are racing, and, like, the race had already been decided, basically, and it was literally survival of the fittest. Like, Brad Keselowski, had he known that he was not going to be able to win that race, like, they were not going to do what they normally do and they throw the caution and they freeze the field where the caution comes out at, he should have just turned up into Tyler Reddick. If he would have known that, he could have just smashed him against the wall and won. But I don't know. I don't know. I feel bad criticizing NASCAR sometimes about this stuff because I know it's like quick decisions, but that was like unnecessary mayhem. But then again, like you said, Michael McDowell caused the whole thing.
He fucked up, dude. He panicked so bad.
Yep.
He was going to lose that race one way or the other.
Yes, he was. You didn't want to be out front.
No, but the thing that we said, I don't know who determines when the caution goes, because somebody crashes in the back, they hit the wall, it's a caution, it's one car. But McDowell hit the wall, there was no caution, and then he collected everybody, and then that was the caution. Right. So
it was
a little weird
late.
To me.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. I mean, you got a car sideways at 200 miles an hour, but you waited until Tyler Reddick got past Keselowski. That just didn't sit right with me. And I mean, sometimes they throw. You've seen it. I've seen it. There's been times where the caution comes out before the accident even happens. You see, like, that's how quick they throw it.
And yeah, people will spin and they'll throw a caution. They'll spin and they'll throw a caution. And I find it odd, Matt. What are the odds that Michael Jordan was there this
exactly.
time?
Exactly. 100%. And I was talking to Chris and some other guys at the Vets. I mean, I'm not criticizing NASCAR if that played a role in it, because that's incredible exposure for them. It's the greatest race team. And I have nothing against them. We like Tyler Reddick. I think he's a good racer. I love Michael Jordan being involved, but it just didn't seem right to me.
Something wasn't right.
I don't know. So you had Bubba win at Talladega under rain, shortened, you know, sketchy circumstances where it was sprinkling. And then this one, Michael Jordan benefits, so good for him. But man, that burns, man. And it burns poor Brad Keselowski, who almost snapped that winless streak.
I know. He's been running good, though. I have some faith in Brad coming down the stretch here with a couple races coming up.
I agree. All right, so let's shift over to the Monster Mile Dover International Speedway. This is a track that warms my heart every time they come here. Haven't been in a while, but I used to go to this race every year. Martin Truex won this last year, and then the year before that, Chase Elliott. To me, when I think about Dover in the recent years, obviously Truex always been pretty good here. But for whatever reason, it always, to me, in my mind, I immediately go to the Hendrick team. Yep. And I say, my God, this could be Chase Elliott, arguably one of his best tracks. Absolutely, is Alex Bowman's probably his best track. Yep. Kyle Larson, who's maybe one of the best racers that we've seen in a long time. He has a lot of great tracks, but he is dominant here too. I think, Sam, to me, it's as simple as pick one of these Hendrick Chevrolets, and I think you're going to do okay this week.
Yeah. I mean, on my winners, I had every Hendrick driver. But yeah, I'm going with Alex Bowman out of those four.
Yep. It makes the most sense. I mean, you get the best price on him. He's won here before. He's had a lot of success. He needs a win. I mean, there's just so many reasons to pick Alex Bowman this week. I think this is a track that he's comfortable at. And, I like him a lot, around 17 to 1. But like I say, I think if you bet Chevy, the manufacturer, to win, or Hendrick Motorsports car to win, if you can find those at plus prices, which you should be able to, I mean, those to me are great bets.
Yeah, I agree. And then, like, some other guys that I was really looking at that I think can run well is anybody in Stuart Haas, maybe besides Briscoe. I think Barry can run well. I even think Gragson could probably run well. He ran well last week.
He did. He's starting to come together a little bit.
He really is. I can't
keep
lie.
His life on track.
I know. He is. He's not running into the walls anymore in the Wendy's car. It's nice.
Well, yeah. Let's wait till we get to the street race and see how that turns out. I think he's trending in the right direction. I think you're exactly right there. And then Josh Berry, I mean, that car has had success at Dover before, too. So, and he's ran well in the other series that he's been in. So I agree. I think Josh Berry's definitely worth a look. Then Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, they're just a little too short of prices. William Byron, you know, I mean, I can't tell anybody to not bet a Hendrick driver. But I thought, I'm 100% with you on the Alex Bowman pick. But I thought a couple of guys that struck me as interesting this week. Ricky Stenhouse, who's run well here and at Bristol, which is weird. He's usually good on the long tracks. He's 115-1. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I thought he was interesting as a top 10. I think Chris Buescher has deceptively good numbers at this track. So I like him around 20-1. And then a guy who I know is going to break through, and the Toyotas have run here, not quite as good as the Hendrick team Chevys, but the Toyotas have been good enough here, and I think Ty Gibbs is knocking on the door. He's had some really good runs at Dover. What do you think about those three guys, Stenhouse, Buescher, and Gibbs?
Yeah, I have Buescher on my sleepers, Gibbs, and then my third sleeper is somebody that he was like Brad 2 weeks ago, Kyle Busch.
Oh, yeah. No, I considered picking him, but I know, just need to like see iffy. A little more momentum from him right now.
It's so iffy. Richard Childress, I still don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know if they do either. I really don't.
And like they, it had to really kind of stick in their ass a little bit that Reddick wins. But they won both races. They won the ARCA race and the Xfinity race on Saturday, so they had a lot of promise, and their cars were okay. But I don't know. Cup wise, I don't know what they're waiting on, but they better get moving. But I agree with you. I considered Kyle Busch too, but I just couldn't. I couldn't make the leap of faith quite yet with him, just because of just the. He just has no momentum right now.
No, he has none. And he's always bitching about something, man. Always.
Yes, he is. And two other guys here that I thought that had long prices, a little bit long. Joey Logano has run well here in the past. I think him at over 22-1 is a play that's worth looking at. But the Fords have struggled. And another Ford, same team, Ryan Blaney, who's run well here in the past. I think those guys are probably good top 10 bets. You can probably get a little touch over plus money. So I think those are worth a look. But man, when is Ford going to make the breakthrough?
I don't know. It's got to be soon, and I think Blaney could be the one that does it, and it bums me out that Eric Jones isn't running this race because I really had some high hopes for Eric
too.
Jones,
I
don't know if his villain's going to do as well as he is.
No, probably not, unfortunately, but hopefully he gets back to health and can get back in the car here very soon. But, man, I mean, when you have body trauma like that, I mean, it's scary to see a guy hit like that and think about just – yeah, there's so many things like, man, I want him to race, but it's like, you need this dude to be okay. Like, he could be having like major brain damage because of this.
Man, so. I actually think it's a little wrong that they interview these guys after the infield care center.
I kind of do too.
It's weird. It's like, hey, Eric, how you doing? You doing all right? No, I just crashed at 190 miles an hour. Like, yeah, my back's sore.
My brains are scrambled.
I can't see right now.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's really weird. I mean, they mandate going to the infield care center, but do they mandate that they have to do the interview after? And they don't wait around. I mean, they're waiting right outside the door. They don't let the guy go get a shower. Like, they'll calm down, get a drink.
Nothing.
Here we go. Stick the mic right in your face. But
I hate that. They got to get rid of that, and they got to get rid of Michael Waltrip's grid walk.
It's terrible.
It's automatically turning the channel. I can't stand it.
Yep. And speaking of grid walks. Here we go.
What's happened, Matt?
Formula One once again. I tell you what, our picks were all right. You nailed George Russell. You nailed the double Ferrari top six. Those were easy. I had the double Red Bull top three podium. I mean, come on, again, this doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this stuff out. But Verstappen wins again. But again, these races just aren't even competitive. He leads every lap, he didn't lead every lap. Lando did lead a couple, a handful, but just dominates again. I did give out 1-2 on Twitter, the over 12-second interval, so he hit that one. But this sucks. I mean, it's not really entertaining. I mean, obviously, you like seeing the cars. They look great on the track and flying around out there, and we're back in China finally since the Wuhan virus, but the race itself was nothing.
It was nothing. Like I texted you, we're just watching Max Verstappen set lap records and drive his car around. And then, like, I see articles like, oh, Zhou Guan Yu is so honored to race in China. Well,
well, he should have been honored to finish out of whatever place he was in. It wasn't very good.
I would genuinely ask anyone in F1, what are the points of any of these teams outside of the top 10 showing up? Yeah. What is the point?
There isn't.
There is like, no point. They're just driving around.
They are. They're on like a Sunday drive out in the park, and they could die from it. Like
Daniel Ricciardo, he shouldn't show up anymore.
No, enough of him. We were kind of hoping he would have a little resurgence. He's been a total bum. Valtteri Bottas, another engine failure. I mean, I still think that guy in the right car is still good, but I mean, like, he's probably never going to get the opportunity. But I mean, this is awful. It's a shame for the amount of money that goes into this circuit that they can't have a more competitive, field each week. But yeah, it is. It's Max Verstappen out there on a walkover. I mean, it's just, if he doesn't screw up or something fall out of the bottom of his car, it's over. And I did laugh at Sergio Perez. Like, he gets interviewed prior to the race, like even after qualifying, and he says something like, well, my focus is not on the winning the championship anymore. Like, oh, really? Like, yeah. Good, Sergio. Like, I think, that goal should be exterminated from your list of goals for the year. But, yeah, you should be worried about getting a new ride, I guess. That's what's going to end up coming down to. But that's what these guys are doing. They're basically showcasing. It'd be fun if they just raced without Verstappen.
It'd be really cool. They should do that. Once Max wins and he locks it in, they should say, hey, you're done. You can't race anymore, dude.
In the betting, from the betting markets, they do have that now every single week. The winner without Verstappen. It's so you can go into that one, and that does provide a little bit of intrigue, which I kind of kicking myself because I was going to bet a McLaren to be the winner outside of Max last week, and I didn't end up pulling the trigger, and Lando ran second. But so we're off until we head down to the Miami Grand Prix, which will be cool. I mean, I'm glad that we're getting these races in North America, Sam. We can only hope that the competition gets better and then it'll pay off, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's great when you have the American driver, Logan Sargeant. He doesn't need to show up. I mean, the thing that bothers me, Matt, is like the way that it's marketed here. It's not marketed for racing fans. It's marketed for celebrities and being seen at the race. You just want to go to the race and see the people there. It's not even about the race. It's not about right, the the teams. It's just, but hey, we're in Miami at the F1 race. Like, look at us. Look how cool we are. You can't You're get right. these tickets.
It's a total status symbol. Same thing with the Vegas one. Again, I'm glad it's come to North America.
Yeah,
I am.
I agree.
But
I do
will
agree.
We ever get it to where it's actually competitive? Logan Sargeant, who you mentioned, he finished, like, think about this. He finished 96 seconds behind Max Verstappen. Now, that is impossible. And these cars go faster than lightning, and a guy's 96 seconds behind. He was the last running car in the race.
It's like, you know how, like, the drivers get out and they weigh themselves after? Like, Max was already weighed, and he was already getting his towel down and his drink, and he was ready to go to get the trophy.
I don't get it. It's almost like people running against the Kenyans and the Ethiopians in the Boston Marathon.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no shot for anybody else to win but them.
It's the closest comparison we have, sadly. But, yep, so nothing this week for F1. We'll be back at Miami as they make the big trek. It is one fascinating thing how much in freight and shipping costs and fuel must they burn to transfer all these different continents, just the way that they do it. It is quite an impressive undertaking that
they need to film that. That would be more exciting than the racing. Right. Like, I get pissed when my shipping's $7. I can't imagine what this is costing these guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, that'd be something to see, is have the people that do the transporting for these big teams. Can you imagine the pressure that you have to, like, the only thing that could derail Verstappen is his car doesn't make it to Miami.
Right. So, let me get an interview with those guys.
Yeah. And the guy who messed it up is getting executed. So he better be careful.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. Especially if it's one of those races over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, watch out.
Fucking head will be on the floor. All right, so that'll do it for the racing talk for this week. Let's hit on some baseball. Paul Skenes was cited today, threw, I think, 73 pitches or so. So do you think that they're building up his workload for a early summer call-up? What's your gut say?
Yeah, I think that they're, you know, because apparently he's never pitched in his life and thrown a lot of pitches, so might as well ramp it up. He wasn't throwing 120 pitches, 130 pitches in the College World Series and leading up to that in competitive SEC baseball. So
against metal bats.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's great that they're doing the workload thing. Like, I have no clue, because they're on one end, they're doing that, which is just childish. And then, like, a week ago, they're pulling pitchers at 59 pitches.
Right.
This week, they let a pitcher stay in and pitch, and they win. I don't know who's making these decisions, but whoever he is, he's an idiot.
And Will, like, where will the consistency come? Like, what footprint are they following?
Right. I don't know. And then I heard the analytic. Oh, the third time around the rotation, you got to take these guys out. No. If you're throwing 100 and you're striking guys out and they're getting out and they're hitting into outs, you stay in the game. It's simple. Yeah. You use less arms, then you have more arms available later or for the rest of the series. I didn't go to college, but that just makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, you don't have to be to go to college to be smart. Trust me. We know that more than ever. Yeah, that's just the world we live in today. People put that fancy diploma up on the wall and it doesn't do anything for you. Sorry. But yeah, it is weird, because you see all the fucking comments from all these managers, not just the Pirates, like a lot of these teams that are struggling to get any traction about, oh, the bullpen, this guy's not available, this guy's not available. Well, maybe they'd be available if you left your starter in a little bit before he gets into a jam. And I'm not talking like a guy hits a little dinker single in the sixth inning, like, oh boy, let's sound the alarms, let's get a guy up here. Like, I don't understand it. And then I don't understand these teams who force their guys to pitch to contact and thinking that they're saving pitches by doing that. And it doesn't seem like it translates to me. But your same culprits, your Pirates and some of these other outfits that just don't seem to get it. And then you got teams like the Orioles and the Royals and some of these other teams who are developing the guys, getting them up to the big leagues at the right time. Although I will say, let's go to the Orioles real quick. Jackson Holliday's got to go back down. They got to settle.
I mean, he's so young.
Yeah. And it's not fair to him, because I feel sorry for him. Like last night, you could tell I got home from the Nailer game and I was watching the Oriole game before I went to bed, and you could see it in his eyes when he's coming to the plate. He knows he's going to be struck out. He knows he's getting fooled. I mean, he needs to go down there, get the confidence back up, and he'll be fine, but just, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think they can keep him up much longer.
No, but I mean, there's a huge leap from AAA to the pros, even though, like, you know, these guys that we'll say, like, talking about the pitchers that get pulled and put in. Like the, when the Pirates put in a Ryder Ryan because somebody gave up a single. It's like, dude, Ryder Ryan will dice you up. You know what I mean? Like, sure, he's not that great, but when you're playing a rookie.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a totally different ball game, and especially when you've been struggling pretty much from the jump.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to get out of.
And all the pressure of the top prospect. At least he got his first hit, but he's batting like 0.33 or something. So it's
he's batting what I'd be batting.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about NHL and NBA playoffs. What were your what's been your observations so far in those?
All right. So here's the thing. I love the Clippers for one reason. I don't like any of the players. I love Steve Ballmer. I think Steve Ballmer is the best owner ever because he's a billionaire and everyone's like, oh, these billionaires know more than me. They know all these secrets. Mm-hmm. And this guy's obsessed with having the most toilets so you get to watch the game. And he just loves being the owner of the Clippers. Like I like Steve Ballmer and the Clippers just for that. But the Clippers, they were the Clippers last night.
Yeah.
Paul George and Kawhi and like they have so much talent in that.
They do.
What happened in the beginning of the year when they were dominating? Where is that? Is it just they haven't played enough?
Yeah, maybe. Because I do think they are the X factor in the West to me. Right now, it's probably, you know, Denver's to lose, although they're not quite as good. But I thought if anybody could do, you know, you got OKC who's not quite ready to win yet. And, you know, some of those other teams that just probably aren't there. Phoenix is a mess. They're really not going
to
threaten at all. Minnesota, I think, won't be tough enough to be able to beat, you know, a Denver, somebody in the coming rounds. But I thought the Clippers, if they could put it all together, was the one team out there that could be right there with Denver and, you know, pushing for the right to basically play the Celtics in the finals. Because I know it's early on and they're pounding a bad team right now. But, like, if Boston doesn't make it to the finals this year and, like,
something's gotta get switched.
Push it to seven games. I think your boy Mazzulla is gonna be gone, and they might be shaking things up.
Yeah, they may, and it's just tough because, like, the T-Wolves are so good, but their big men are soft. Gobert is soft. Karl Anthony Towns is soft, and they are not like Jokic. Right. Jokic is so good, and Denver's, I don't know, I don't want to say secondary players, but their non-stars are so much better than, like, everybody. Yeah. Like the Lakers. You can't rely on an old-ass LeBron and AD. AD's back's going to get hurt. LeBron's going to complain about something.
Right, and how about the other night? They blow the 20-point lead, but somehow they go and blame the officials for the loss. Come on. Crazy. I mean, would you ever see Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant doing stuff like that? No. They'd be in there beating the shit out of their teammates saying, hey, fucker, this was your fault. You didn't guard this guy or whatever.
Yeah, there's no accountability there. It's always the ref's fault, not LeBron's.
It'll be so nice when he's done playing. I'm just tired of hearing him talk and just, oh, God. And ESPN's just still everything he says is like gospel. It's horrible. Well, let's shift over to hockey now. Some interesting things coming out of Toronto right now. I saw Austin Matthews did not take the morning skate. Carlson's out of the line. I mean, I don't know what's going on up there in Toronto, but they got some issues now. And they did come together and win a game against Boston and even the series at one, but I'm a little worried about them. And what is your faith level for these Canadian teams right now? Vancouver's got problems. Winnipeg was terrible last night. I don't know. Who out of those four are you most confident in? Edmonton?
Not the Leafs.
Yeah, no, never.
Not the Leafs. And it's certainly, I think that the Canucks are out of juice. I think that they were such a good regular season team. Like, they remind me, it's going to sound crazy comparison. Like, Joel Embiid, he's a great regular season player, but he just gets hurt and he's tired and he has no more gas. I don't know.
Now they got
the
Casey DeSmith in goal, too.
Right. That's bad. That is, hey, I'm going to give you guys a heads up. That's bad.
It's not going to work. He's too small to hold up. He's just not going to. He could probably save you for a game, and that's it.
And I hate to say it because it's against the Kings. I think the Oilers are the only hope because McDavid. Yeah. I think McDavid is just – he's the only one left that I think can hop onto another level. Matthews can't do what McDavid does.
The only other guy that can come close to that is McKinnon because he's an incredible skater. And last night you saw Winnipeg, who I was pretty high on going into this playoff. So out of the Canadian teams, I thought they were most likely to be built – to be able to win in the playoffs, but their goaltending has been an embarrassment. Brutal. They were lucky to have won game one, 7-6, and then they get embarrassed last night at home. But I'm with you. I mean, after one game, Edmonton has been the best of the Canadian team so far. We'll see what they do tonight against the Kings. you know, pretty favorable matchup for him. The Kings aren't quite as good as at slowing Edmonton down like they were a couple years ago. But yeah, you're right. McDavid could take it to another level. And now I think Colorado has a fighting chance here against Winnipeg, as I thought Winnipeg, you know, let one go last night. And we're lucky to have won game one. So we'll see. Canadian team still surviving somehow. What are your thoughts on this Rangers Caps series? And how about TJ Oshie getting a dirty hit against him last night? I can't say I feel that sorry for him.
No, I don't feel sorry for him at all. I think the Rangers, I texted you, I love the Rangers. I think that they're going to be in the Cup final. I really do. I think they're so loaded. They've been on that precipice, ready to break through for these last couple years. And when they loaded up last year and got Trocheck, I can't believe the Penguins didn't sign him.
Idiotic. They decided to keep Malkin, the 50-year-old Malkin, over him.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's every line that they have, the Rangers, all four lines are just good, and they'll come at you hard.
Yeah.
And I think that they have a serious chance to potentially play the Nashville Predators. It sounds crazy, but I think their goaltending is what's going to get them to at least the Western Conference Finals.
I agree. I picked them to win that series before Thatcher Demko got hurt. I think they should have won game one. I think it should be up 2-0. And I think they'll probably win both games in Nashville. I feel pretty good about that. But the thing about the Rangers, to me, is they have, to me, definitely the best four lines. The best four lines they have. They have a good goalie. Can he continue to handle the mental workload that's going to be required of him in New York? That's the question that I have. And then will they fucking do something dumb, like Trouba get a match penalty in a critical time? So that, to me, could be their only undoing. But I agree with you, in my opinion. It's probably between them and, I guess, Carolina. And Florida has been playing better, but I still think Tampa's in that series. It's going back to Tampa. I think they'll win at least one of those games, maybe two. So I think that'll be a long series. I think the Rangers could get this thing done in four or five games, which will help them a lot. But I do think the Caps will win one of these games in a low scoring. And now with the bad blood coming out here, Panarin better watch himself, because Tom Wilson's out there, and he's you know how he is. We know better than just about any group of fans, being Penguin fans, of what that guy's capable of doing.
Yeah, that's my only worry of, like, if something happens to one of them, because they got a lot of players that they could take out too. You know, lot of players. So if one of those guys gets taken out, I still think they'd be all right. But once they got to that Carolina series, Carolina's not bad, man. They're not bad.
Tough. They are a tough team. Good coach. Brendan Moore's a good coach. If their goaltending holds up, I mean, they're very good. How about if you're an Islander fan? How bad of a collapse was that?
Dude, I hate the Islanders. I hate everything about them. I love seeing them just fall apart like this. Like, they're in the playoffs. We're not. They have the last laugh. But man, I love seeing them lose. I love it.
they got some assholes on their team too.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah. But all right, Sam. Well, thanks as always for the wonderful contributions here to Better's Last Stand. We will talk to you over the weekend and see you back on the show next week.
Yes, sir. Go Bucks, baby.
Awesome. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, brother. That's Sam, the man from Upper St. Clair, checking in with all things sports here on your place for sports betting and sports analysis. We do it a little different than most people, so we're not going to sit here and give you 15 different giant favorite winners that you could probably figure out yourself. We're going to give you some different looks, some different points of view, some different perspectives, and hopefully still get you to the same place, which is profits. So if you have any questions, comments, observations, shoot us a text, contact at thepineroompodcast.com. You can message us on Twitter or X, BLSPRP, BLS_PRP. You can find us on there. We're at the Pine Room Studios across the other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and X. All right, that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back with episode 85, focusing on some Kentucky Derby, and give you the update on the latest things going on in the NBA and NHL playoffs, as well as baseball and all things racing, golf, you name it, we'll have it here. Better's Last Stand, Aussie football, can't forget about that. So have a great weekend. Enjoy the sporting events. Hopefully you get some winners. And be sure and follow us on Twitter for all the up-to-date picks and plays from the BLS group here of the Pine Room Studios. That'll do it for us this week, episode 84. We'll be back next week with a fully loaded episode of 85. It's hard to believe we've done 85 of these here. So good stuff. Thanks again to all our sponsors, and check us out on the radio over at watchdognetwork.com. That'll do it for us here today in the Pine Room Studios. We'll see you next week on Better's Last Stand.